Hello and welcome to the Sound of Economics podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. I'm Sean Gibson, Bruegel's press officer. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Deep Focus, the series where we get a little deeper into the particulars of Bruegel's research. So today we welcome Bruegel Research Fellow Simone Tagliapietra. Hello, Simone.
Hello.
Simone, this episode we're discussing European Mediterranean energy cooperation and development. So this is a topic that you've elaborated on in a Bruegel policy brief. So if we can start quite broadly, why are Europe's cross-Mediterranean energy relations so important?
Thank you very much, Sean. First of all, let's say that the Euro-Mediterranean energy relations date back to the 1960s, when big gas infrastructures were built between the southern shore of the Mediterranean Sea and the north, big pipelines being constructed between Algeria and Spain, Algeria and Italy, and then later on between Libya and Italy. At the same time, substantial LNG infrastructure were also built across the southern shore from Algeria to Egypt in order to ship natural gas volumes up. Then, of course, also oil played a very important role, particularly as far as Libya is concerned and the relative exports to Italy. So all in all, since the 60s, the 70s, and then the 80s and 90s, oil and gas were really at the core of Mediterranean energy cooperation. But then in the 2000s, let's say that a new chapter was tried to be open concerning renewable energy cooperation in the area. And on that front, the cooperation was not as successful as in oil and gas. Different institutional attempts and commercial projects as well as DESERTEC or the Mediterranean Solar Plan that were aimed at promoting renewable energy cooperation between the two shores failed due to a number of reasons that we might discuss later on.
So how should the energy industry develop in this particular region, and what parameters do you think will affect its development?
Well, I mean, concerning renewable energy, I think the main reason for the failure in the past was due to the fact that the projects proposed were really Eurocentric. The idea was to, as European companies, go in North Africa, produce solar energy, namely, and then export that renewable electricity to Europe via long cables connecting the two shores. The idea was that the renewable energy endowment of the South was really a potential help to Europe for decarbonizing its electricity sector and to contribute into its security of supply, also in electricity terms. In the meantime, the situation since the early 2000s completely changed. Under the political perspective, of course, the so-called Arab Spring and the political unrest in the region created a new dimension that did not certainly allow these big projects to go ahead. But then also the energy economics fundamental change. Over the last decade, energy demand in Europe has not grown, while in the southern countries, Algeria, Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Morocco, Tunisia, in all these countries, energy demand has boomed. Just to make you a quick example, in Algeria, the demand for energy grew by 100%. It doubled between 2000 and 2015. In Jordan, in Egypt, in all these countries, energy demand grew by 80% in this time horizon. Even worse is the situation of electricity demand, which in the same time frame in Algeria grew by 160%. In Jordan, the same. Even in Egypt, which is really the big country in the region, electricity demand grew by 140%, while in Europe, about 5%. So that tells you that in this region, energy demand, electricity demand is skyrocketing. That tells you that if you want to build renewable energy projects in these countries, it should be for the benefit of these countries, because these countries are the ones that need to consume this electricity. So this old idea of exporting electricity to Europe, I think, is completely outdated. And that's why the big project promoted by Europe in the past failed.
So, yeah, you've touched on the topic of renewable energy there, and perhaps the nature of these future plans should take. But where do all these potential routes of development stand within the framework of agreements on limiting and reducing greenhouse gas emissions, like the Paris Agreement of 2015?
Yeah, that's exactly the point, Sean, because in the meantime, we had another development, which was the Paris Agreement. And I think it is important to consider that all South Mediterranean countries submitted their plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions, and they also adopted plans for renewable energy deployment by 2030. For example, Algeria has a plan to have 27% of electricity production in the country by 2030. Egypt, just to mention their national strategy, has a plan to have 20% of electricity production by renewable energy by 2022. So all countries have certain targets, both in terms of greenhouse gas emission reduction and renewable energy deployment. The issue is how to get there. Because today, notwithstanding the big renewable energy potential of this region, solar and wind only represent a minor share of these countries' primary energy mix. Example is solar and wind accounts for 0.01% of Algeria's energy mix, 0.17% of Egypt's energy mix, and 1% of Morocco's energy mix. So to get from 1% to 52% of the mix as foreseen for Morocco by 2030, for example, it's going to be extremely challenging. And here I think it comes the role of Europe. Because under the Paris Agreement, developed countries committed to substantial climate finance support for developing countries in terms of fostering, basically, further investments into clean energy solutions. And I think that Europe can do much more than today to help Southern Mediterranean countries to deploy at large scale renewable energy.
So talking about the beyond the sheer distance that the developing countries might have to travel to get to these agreed targets, what do you think the key obstacles will be to advancement in this sector?
I think there are two main obstacles there that we need together to face with the regional countries. The first relates to the legal and regulatory barrier. In these countries, there is still a lack of solid regulatory frameworks for renewable energy. There are frequent changes in the feed-in tariffs schemes. In many of these countries, we still see substantial energy subsidies being given, particularly to fossil fuels, which distort the market and decrease the competitiveness of renewables. So there is a wide range of legal and regulatory issues that should be tackled. And then you have the financial barrier, because investing in renewables is challenging overall, because renewables require large upfront costs, which are then repaid over a long time horizon. So you need the legal certainty, but you also need to have a decent access to financing. Otherwise, it's difficult to make these projects progress. And here, I think that the role of European financing institutions, such as the European Investment Bank and the EBRD, but also the national development banks, can be extremely important in lowering the cost of capital for renewable energy projects in South Mediterranean countries. And in my paper, I make a specific proposal about these institutions. But I think it is important to make this support conditional to the reform of the regulatory frameworks in this country. So if Europe is to support more these countries to deploy renewable energy, then we need to make this conditional to a certain kind of reform of, for example, the support scheme for renewables. We need to ensure that these countries put in place a favorable investment environment for the private sector, because the idea is not to give grants that are per se not sufficient. The idea is to use the public money to trigger further private investments, also by European private companies.
So, I mean, you're already talking in these terms, I guess, but just to bottom line this for people, what do you see as the key benefits, the key priorities that we should be aiming for on both sides of the Mediterranean here going forward? What's the utmost important?
I think that a new regional cooperation framework on renewables is a win-win solution for both shores. On the south, I think that's clearly the way to face the growing electricity demand. So more renewable energy helps you to face this growing need for electricity, for energy. It allows you to meet this requirement in a sustainable manner. So without having to burn oil, gas, you can have it from renewable sources. And it also represents a macroeconomic benefits for these countries, because the more renewables you have, the less fossil fuel subsidies you also need to dispense in the countries. But then there is also a wide range of benefits for European countries in being engaged in a new sort of renewable energy cooperation in the Mediterranean. First, it opens new business opportunities for European companies that today might not be very confident in investing in these countries due to the political risks, to the financing risks, and so on. So being accompanied by European development banks and institutions, European companies can be more engaged into these countries. Second, it is also a very good opportunity to export European renewable energy technology, because Europe exports already quite substantial volumes, for example, of wind technology in this region. This can further augment in the future. Then there is also a matter of energy security. The more Southern Mediterranean countries use renewables to produce electricity, the more natural gas is available from the producing countries, notably, of course, Algeria, but also Egypt and Libya, to be exported to Europe through the current established infrastructure. So there is no need for new gas infrastructure. The infrastructure is there, is not fully utilized today. The more renewable energy these countries are able to use, certainly the more gas can continue to flow to Europe. And given our energy security priority, which is the one of diversifying away from the main supplier, which is Russia, I think that's really a strategic target for Europe. And then there is climate change. Being Europe so committed to the climate change mitigation process, I think that scaling up our climate finance commitments in this region can certainly foster the effort that Europe is pursuing in mitigating global climate change.
Well, I think that about brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode of Deep Focus on the Sound of Economics channel. And thank you very much to...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to all of you.
If you're interested in more of Bruegel's work, we have a range of blogs and papers written by our scholars available on our website, www.bruegel.org. I hope you'll join us again for The Sound of Economics. Until next time, bye-bye.